Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
I'm looking at feedback right here. I just binged all of your My Opening Line episodes. Whoa, this is the greatest podcast ever. No offense to Keith and the Girl. Thank you for the constant and consistent fantastic shows. I'm very proud of this podcast.
Yeah.
I can compare the listeners that we have for Keith and the Girl in My Opening Line, and it's not close, and it doesn't make sense to me. Subscribe to My Opening Line. It's free. We talk to artists, comedians, actors about their very first times performing, their origin stories. And yes, I'm very proud of it. Make sure that you're part of it. Go to myopeningline.com. I'll do it right now. We can play along. And you'll see how to subscribe right there, no matter what your platform. I'm looking at Jeff Meacham.
Who we used to do kids' parties with back in the day. This was, wow, I think it was over a decade ago. And now he's on Black-ish, a regular on Black-ish. And we said this before, you would think, you know, he's now in a new life. He's got a lot more to lose. And he would maybe shut the fuck up about the behind the scenes.
Right.
No.
Doesn't mind.
I've never met a more sharing person. Oh. He gets these jobs. The jobs, you know, have like weird things behind the scenes. He's happy to share it. His origin story is amazing. And we also, for those who have been listening to Keith and the Girl for a long time, remember that we used to do kids' parties. We revisited that on My Opening Line with Jeff Meacham. So that was fun.
I'm looking at Nick Thune, Gabby Dunn, Dan Soder, Ted Alexandro, Gilbert Gottfried doing stand-up at age 13. One of my favorites was Aaliyah Janine. She's porn star. Well, how did that start?
Right. So we got her first time doing porn, her first time stripping, and her first time on stage doing comedy.
Kevin Allison, Lori Kilmartin, Ophir Eisenberg, of course you love. The whole list. Take a look.
Mateo Lane, who was a CatGo Award winner for Best New Guest. Please go to myopeningline.com now. And if you are a listener, please rate and review positively.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest, oh, you love him, I love him, contributor to some e-cards, great stand-up comedian, featured on the Hot Mess Comedy Hour, my personal handyman, Richie Tolway.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How you doing, Richie?
I'm all right. How are you?
I want to be more hands-on like you. I know I just don't have the genes for it. My brother Mark, he's good at taking apart things, putting them back together. I remember when he was a kid, and we were all religious,
yeah.
Him especially. And he would take apart, let's say, a radio to figure out how it works, put it back together, know that he put it together perfectly. And then he would start yelling at God when it didn't work. What do you see? Everything. You see what I'm doing? Is this funny? It's not working. You know.
That's great. Also, this was before the internet. My brother did the same thing, and they're both nerds in similar ways, where my brother also took apart computers, and like if a radio would break, you would see it, you know, in different parts on his floor.
Right.
And it turns out these guys are geniuses. But for a long time, I just thought my brother likes to break shit, you know, because sometimes he would put it back together and it would work. And sometimes he's just like, well, that's a lost cause. And it was just pieces around the house of this thing.
Now it's just tweakers that do that.
Right. He would see people on meth and be like, oh, you're smart too. And then he'd learn the hard way when his bank account was drained, you know.
Let me tell you how much Keith and I don't trust ourselves with this handyman things. And I give up. I'm just like, don't trust me. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like you should. The hinges were coming off of that door. It's very heavy. And so it like literally you could see the screws. All you would have to do is screw it back in.
Right.
But of course, in my brain, I'm just like, well, if it's coming out of the screws that it's already in, even if we screw it back, it's just going to come out.
Yeah.
Or we're going to do it wrong somehow. I'm like, Keith, bring your drill. You know what? Richie's coming in. Let's just get like a thought process from him before we just drill it back in. He, for weeks, he's like, no, I'm going to do this. It's like, I can do it too. I'm just like, all right. But you still, like, you didn't even do step one, which is bring in the drill. And then he finally, so one morning I go, okay, let's not forget the drill. He goes, I already had it ready. It was already on my way out. And then I'm like, again, in 2 days, Richie's coming. This is not, I mean, I know you have a wonderful penis and everything's working great, but could you please not let that affect the door that's about to fall on people? Do you get that a lot? Do you come into places where, I imagine it's the dude, but, you know, I imagine it's the females also where you see their attempt and they're like, just call me next time.
Yeah, sometimes. I've been into some nightmare scenarios where, like, stuff's just broken. And I'm like, you know, like IKEA, people are trying to build IKEA. They just straight up break it. And they're like, yeah, there it is. I just opened it up for you. And I'm like, you didn't just fucking open this up. Come on. It's clearly just, like, stripped out. And it's just, it's all a mess. But otherwise, I feel like I tweeted this a while ago, but I feel like I've like helped some couples like discover like a cuckold fetish almost because the husband's just laying on the couch watching football like, yep, I'm going to pay you to do that. And the wife's just like, yeah, he's useless. Anyways, come fix this for me too. And I'm like, yeah, at least he can afford me. And like, it's just, I play along.
Let me show you something.
Oh no. What is this? He's taking out his penis. This is crazy. He's opening the door and closing it. Look, and never a prouder face. When he got married, he had like a shittier grin on. This is this is just
it's fixed?
Yeah, it's fixed. Okay. I just opened it and closed it.
Yeah. It moved a little. It moved on the axis it's not supposed to move a little bit.
But he won't let me even ask you once you're here. I'm like, look, okay, I get it, you fixed it, it looks fixed.
I know, I thought he was asking me right now, but he was just showing me. Right. He wanted zero feedback from me. He's like, look, don't talk.
Yeah.
And by the way, as we're talking, the arm to my chair just fell off
because we don't know how to behave. But I'm thinking, this thing isn't okay. I'm like, why don't we ask Richie when he comes in if we need two more of those thingamahoos.
Brackets.
Two more
hinges.
Brackets.
Hinges.
I'm sorry, Keith. I should have let you just have that one.
Wow.
We all knew what he was talking about. So why don't we see if we just buy two hinges and see if that's a good idea. And he's like, look. And he shows me the door opening and closing again like I'm a fucking moron. like how could it fall if it's not falling now?
Because it felt so good to screw back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you another thing.
I want more chances.
Oh, air some grievances. Yes, let's go.
Here we go. Okay. When Keith and I were first dating, 2 months in, he fell into like a really bad situation where he was living. The guy stole from him. It was clear he found it back in his room. He threw some bleach on his clothes. It's great. So he needed to leave. And I was like, look, I don't want to move in with you, but if you can make yourself useful while you're here, I think we can work something out. So we worked out like how much to pay. And also my house was like starting to, you know, the paint was starting to like come off.
Right.
There was a little water damage. There was a little this and that. And I'm like, can you, when you come in, just help me with this like above the doorway? We need to scrape off the paint that's coming out. And then what do you call the evening out of things?
Like spackle.
And spackle it and then like paint it a little. He's like, oh yeah, sure. He moves in and he tells me all about like how his dad for punishment would make them paint the entire house. So he's got, you know, all this painting experience out of punishment, you know, whatever, wherever you got it from. Great. He moves into the house, puts it off. I'm like, dude, you know, this is getting worse.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to do it, I got to figure out another way. It's like, well, I don't know how to paint. Like, are you looking at me in my eye and saying that? Like, are we face to face right now? Should have broken up with him right
there.
It
has to be a punishment. Right. That's why.
I should have been like, I'll punch you in the face.
Should have been like an eviction notice unless you paint.
My dad never kissed me and said, can you?
Please?
Right.
God, what a shit show. I imagine like that's what you walk into a lot. Like one of the partners just going like, you know, I tried, but like this house is a little off kilter. And like,
yeah.
By the way, that's my female voice. So I'm not being sexist.
Yeah. No, for sure. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot more moves lately too. I've just been chasing the, you know, as far as like working on the app and everything, it's just been chasing whatever pays more, and moving in New York pays so damn much because people don't even have driver's licenses, let alone trucks or, you know, the ability to carry shit. I'm very strong and I have a very high tolerance for pain. So I've been moving people, but like just the general way people live, because there's no hiding shit when you move, you know, when that couch gets flipped up, whatever falls out is whatever falls out. You know, like if you don't vacuum under there, it's disgusting.
What are you finding?
There was one guy, I actually found out he was a podcaster, and he was like they make a lot of money. They're from very big podcasts, but his house was covered in trash. It was disgusting. I mean, like we flipped the couch up and there was a garbage bag full of trash.
Like, oh, that they just lost?
It was just in everywhere. I mean, like, that just the corner. You couldn't see a corner of the house. You know, it was all just piles of trash everywhere. And it they was didn't a have nightmare.
Bugs or anything like that?
No, I mean, not that I saw, but
Keith, I get some real... Keith, you seem so happy about this.
Maybe he knew he was moving out. He's like, what am I going to do? Start throwing out garbage? I'm leaving.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, that stunk, but...
What's the app you were working on? What was that?
TaskRabbit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's that work out for you?
It's good. I've been doing it for a couple of years. I mean, that's where I started all this handyman stuff, but yeah.
And you're saving up a lot?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like from the 27th to the 2nd, I moved 18 apartments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What?
I just kill myself for like a week and then I just can take a lot of time off.
When you, if you break up in a relationship, is it extra their fault because you're like, I could take a lot of pain? You're really
no pushing. That's how we lasted so long. I just endured for a long time.
I think we're talking about your breakup with Micah Fox, right? And you're this just happened, right?
Yeah it did, just like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that.
Oof, that's rough, because you guys have been dating for a while.
Yeah, 2 years, just a little over 2 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah,
and also amount.
That was our first, I was our first boyfriend that she moved in with. Like, her and Mike lived together, but it was like more of a necessity thing. We like, she said anyways, it was a big deal for her to like sign a lease with one of her boyfriends. Oh,
that
you know?
Wasn't a signed lease with Mike?
No, I guess not. Like, he moved into her place or something like that.
I know? See. So it's the first time you guys were shopping, and for you also?
No, I was married. I mean,
oh, okay.
I've been down this road. I realize it was so gross. I realize I'm like the seasoned homicide detective of breakups now. You know, like we cried for 24 hours straight. I'm like, all right, here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna sleep on the couch for 5 days. I'm gonna keep out of your way. Gonna go to Phoenix, stay at my parents' house for like 2 weeks, and then you know, we'll just forget everything. You know, it's like that. The old guy, it's like, we got a double homicide. There's a dead baby inside. And you're like, you don't care about that shit at all. He's like, nah, it doesn't faze me. You know, like I didn't want to be this person, but I am.
But you are. Are you phased?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was sad. But, you know, just I know how to handle it. I'm like, it's going to suck. And then we'll just get it.
You know how to handle it, Richie. I'm looking at some tweets here. You know how I do.
Yeah.
And thank God people don't understand the difference between tweeting and having a diary. Stages of grief in a breakup. May 10th. Denial. Anger. Bargaining. Should I buy a motorcycle? I noticed this after my marriage. That I don't think I'm being an asshole, but now that I'm dating, I am clearer with what I want or what kind of person I am immediately.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I'm not hiding my Crocs. Those come out the first date, you know?
That's a problem. I don't know that I would agree with that. I can't get behind that.
See? And look what happened.
You shouldn't wear Crocs, well, really. I mean, ever.
I don't go with these fashions that nobody really even believes in. We would still have Velcro today if more people were like me.
I'm on Keith's side. It's such fucking bullshit. Like every season you see all of a sudden high-waisted pants are in. Why? Because somebody pretty wore it first?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I'm not big on fashion either, but...
Now, I'll go more into your tweets, don't you worry. But but it is interesting that...
I like how they're printed full screen. I didn't print a fucking list of tweets.
No, each one deserves its own page. Micah Fox did tweet out, the relationship isn't officially over until I finish the chicken he left in the fridge. Now,
I haven't followed her. I didn't...
Okay,
you're going to bring her tweets into this now?
This is the only one. So maybe you didn't know that. Because if I saw that, I would have been like... Things are contentious now. It's not time to be cute.
Oh, really?
That's the way I would have felt.
That's not fair, because when you initially broke up, you were telling jokes right away on your show, and Twitter is a similar or the same thing.
Okay.
You don't think?
I don't care.
Then how is
that? Wait, you're saying that that's cute? Her tweet's cute?
It is cute.
Yeah, I guess.
Why not be cute?
Why not be cute?
I don't think it's that cute, I guess. I don't know. Right.
But like, it could bother you. It could bother somebody.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I mean, of course, and she's, you know, she has like, I mean, that was honestly a huge point of contention in the relationship. She has like 7 minutes about how like she doesn't love her boyfriend and all that shit. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm in love with him. That's what I tell him. You know, there's some things on cocaine you say that you can't take back or like it's just shitty jokes like that.
Right.
And that was the big thing. That was a big crux where I was like, people don't think you like me. I don't think you like me. You know, I think right. You want to like me. I think you want the benefits of having me as a boyfriend, but I don't think you really like me. Like when you come home, you're not stoked on me being there.
But what was she, is, did something turn different? Like, was she stoked and then not?
I don't know. It's just it, whatever it was. I mean, she's a very independent person. Like, at one point, she was like, when we were, after we broken up, she was like, you're going to find someone that wants to be, you know, like in a relate, you know, loved and like do coupley things, and you're going to be really happy. And I looked at her, I was like, you're going to die alone.
Jesus.
And then she said, that's the way I always saw it. Like, that's kind of her thing. She wants to be like the writer on the hill that just like publishes work, you know? I mean, she, that's her personality.
Right.
And but then how did you guys become a couple to begin with then?
She pursued me, which pissed me off because I was like enjoying being single. And then she pursued me. And then
how?
She, you know, I don't know. She just, like the first time we, you know, we were hanging out at a party or whatever. And she was like, she invited me, you know, she's like, aren't you going to kiss me? And you know, like, all this kind of stuff. She's like, she kind of came on to me and pursued the relationship at first.
Did she pursue the one-on-one aspect of it? The taking it more seriously?
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm not going to say fully, but you know, it's just, I think she was just like, that was her, I feel like it might've been her big attempt at a relationship. I think this was going to be probably the best chance at like a long-term thing. And I just don't think it's for her. If that makes sense.
Also, with this tweet, the difference to me is my ex did say, and we did talk about me talking about the relationship. If we didn't discuss it and we're both going through a tough thing and I see like a little tweet, I don't know, it would bother me.
That's why I unfollowed. I couldn't, because I know that she's going to have jokes and, you know, right. Like.
I don't get, she's a comic. I don't understand what you guys are even talking about.
Because there's still people.
Well, but also, like I said, the point of contention being that she was joking about me on stage the whole time, you know? And it's like, this coming from a place of truth. Like, if, like, the way I said to her, I was like, if I wrote over the last 2 years, 10 minutes on how dog shit ugly my girlfriend was, and every day I came home and I was like, babe, you're beautiful. At some point you're like, no, you don't think I'm beautiful, you know, because you're up there every night telling all of our friends how ugly you think I am. You know what I mean? Like, when the jokes are just purely directed, like, he sucks, he's a little bitch, you know, I really shove him around a lot, I lie to him.
Did you feel shoved around?
No, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a grain of truth. You don't write jokes from nowhere. So that's, you know, that's what pissed me off. And I, you know, finally just couldn't really take it anymore. And I was like, I think that's coming from a real, real place. I think you're annoyed with me. So
why was she annoyed with you? Why were you shoved around?
I'm just, you know, I would want to talk. I mean, it's really simple stuff. Because she even asked me, she's like, how do you know you don't get annoyed with me? And I'm like, because when you come home, I'm excited to see you. I want to hear about your day, you know?
As you're saying this, are you brokenhearted or?
Yeah, it's a heartbreak. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but, you know.
What did it feel like to make the decision? Because what you're saying right now is the whole time all of this was happening, the whole time.
Oh, no. I mean, no, that's just the way I'm, you know, it's a defense mechanism. It's a you know, compartmentalizing and reconciling and looking back and saying, oh, yeah, this was, you know, there were warning signs. There are those breakups you have where everybody's like, that sucks, you know, like I had no idea. And then there are those breakups where like, yeah, you know, I like you both, but I didn't think you guys were right together. I saw that coming. You know, like there's
is
just
that even more of a heartbreak, or is that like
a
justified?
Little bit?
That,
yeah.
Like, I do feel like, where the fuck were you when I first got?
No, you can't ever, as a friend, you can never take an anti-significant other. You know, right. That's a quick way to lose a friend. If you're ever like, hey, that girl you're in love with, not good for you. Like,
yeah, you gotta catch me earlier than that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Or it's too late.
So when did you wake up from it?
What?
When were you like, you know what? This is real. She doesn't like me.
Well, so I've quit drink. I've been depressed, and you know, we've been like, you know, just been cohabitating. We've been like best friends. I mean, we were like best friends. That's what's like the hardest part, is I'm mourning the loss of a best friend, you know? So we were kind of like working through shit for a few months. I quit drinking, started antidepressants, started therapy.
Were you both doing that?
No, just me. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was the depressed one, you know? And so, whatever. She didn't want to admit that she's a depressed person or whatever. But so I was doing all these things to fix myself. And then I kept getting put into these like weird situations. I was, I wasn't like an alcoholic, but I would go out, you know, like two nights a week and go real hard in the paint, you know, like just all night cocaine, alcohol, and just ruin my next day or two, you know? And it was like a function of my depression. I'd almost go out the night before just so I would have an excuse not to go out the next day, you know, to like not leave the house.
So you were living in extremes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I quit all that, and I didn't feel any support, and I kept getting put into situations where, like, you know, I'd be like, hey, I'm feeling anxious. I was, you know, we'd be out at a bar or whatever. And I'd be like, I got to get going, you know, and she'd like make me stay a little longer and little, you know, just not supportive behaviors, I guess, from your significant other that you'd hope for.
If she was listening to this, which of course, you know, she might chill, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or she might hear about it or
right,
whatever.
Right. Then I don't want to hear it.
But would she agree with everything you're saying? Or would she argue it?
She would probably agree with a good amount. I mean, when we fought and, you know, argued and things, we would both be able to admit our faults in it. And
what was your fault?
I needed more than she could give. I mean, that was just flat out.
Did she offer it and you were asking for it?
No. No, like I just need, I required more attention and affection than she is willing to give.
You kind of, I feel like, did you already allude to this? You knew that she wouldn't have that.
That she wouldn't, what?
Did you know that she wouldn't be able to give that affection, and you kind of made it up that she could?
Yeah, we both thought the other one was going to kind of meet us in the middle, right. You know, or that I would
sense,
stop.
Right? Because you get together with someone and you're like, oh, I'm going to, because I have you, I can make these sort of like arrange, I could be a better person,
right.
Or I can come towards you because I want to come towards you for these other reasons.
Yeah.
So I can come towards you for this. I think that's why you end up staying longer, because it's like, wait, aren't I supposed to negotiate a relationship?
Right.
Aren't I supposed to have these sort of like...
Yeah. And I felt like I just, at a point, I guess I felt like I was making a lot more concessions than she was making.
Would
and
she agree with you?
I don't know.
I don't know her.
I don't know. I mean, she was always very frustrated. It was a point of frustration for her where she felt like she was giving more, and I'd be like, you're not. Like, it wasn't enough. So
Richie wrote, relationship status. I drove 100 miles per hour past a cop car last night, past a cop, and I felt nothing. That is a status, you know? I hear you, buddy. It's good to give space after a contentious breakup. Distance may vary, but I find that my sweet spot is about 2,400 miles. Little trip to LA?
Yeah. And when I got divorced, I moved to New York from Arizona, you know?
Oh, wow.
I have a history of getting the hell out of there.
A whole new state will change it. There are plenty of fish in the sea, he writes. Miserable, dull, ugly fish, just staring at you with their hollow eyes, rejected, alone, dying. So keep your chin up and go get them.
Have you cried?
Yes.
Why you say it like that?
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm like, I'm almost tearing up now. Yeah. I went to therapy today. I cried. It's still, you know, it's tough. It's tough. It's heartbreaking.
What do you miss the most?
I mean, that's kind of the thing that I'm trying to come to grips with, is that I'm just missing routine. That's, you know, your whole routine is broken.
Like when you leave somewhere, you text and...
Yeah, yeah. I don't have the same person to text. I don't have the same jokes, the same conversations, you know. And not that we were just having the same, but you know what I mean? Like the same...
The ease.
Yeah, the go-tos, the comfortability of that. You just don't have that. Sometimes you're just like, fuck, who do I talk to now? Like,
where do you go to now? Twitter?
I talk to my mom a little bit more. I've been, you know, calling her.
That's lucky.
Yeah, I got my buddy Austin, Austin Shardak, really funny comedian. He's actually who I quit drinking with.
Now you guys are dating.
Yeah,
all the support there.
We legit are. where you go to the gym and everything. That was one of the reasons I quit as well, is that he was trying to quit drinking, and we were, you know, always going out together, and at one point he got dumped by his girlfriend, and he hit me up to like basically relapse, and I helped him relapse, and that felt really shitty. But like the day after, you know, like I was like, yeah, of course I'll help my buddy out, you know. And then like a few days later I was like, I don't want to be that guy. It's like I'll bring the, you know, the gin and the blow, let's get hammered. And then he just, you know, cries at 4 a.m. and you're like, what am I doing? I'm that guy now. So then we, you know, we go to the gym together instead. And you know,
that's
it
amazing.
Was good. Yeah, it was good. Like the first day we quit drinking, whatever, I told him to come to the gym. He could use my like guest pass or whatever. And he tried to back out. And I was like, no, if I'm a bad influence that heavily on you, I'm just going to be as much of a good influence. So you're coming to the gym. And then, you know, we've been going like all the time now.
Is it safe to say that Mike is going through something? I hate to say this about somebody else, but
like for 13 years now.
No, I mean, that's the general consent. It's just like, everyone's like, yeah, what were you doing anyways? I mean, that's she is a special thing. She's a feral cat. And she said it. I've said it. Maybe I've just said it and she agreed with it. I don't really know. But it's like, if you find a cat that's been on the street for 9 years and take it in, like, it might chill for a little bit. But that is a feral animal. It's going to want to go back out and be on its own. That's just who she is.
Would people say, like, I would find her, I mean, she's always friendly to me, but I would picture she's a cold person. But with that said, people thought that about my ex, and we had the time of our lives for quite a while. Did it seem like that? Like, do you get feelings from her? And of course you do.
So yeah, sometimes, but no, she's, I mean, I would joke and call her autistic a lot, but you know, she's just like kind of cold and emotionless sometimes. She definitely can be. She can shut it off. She does not, you know, exhibit emotion or like utilize emotion in her decision making. It's all very logic based, very goal oriented.
And is that tough or did
yeah,
it seem
it's tough? Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, welcome to Airbnb, 2 miles away from your apartment that you had to leave. Let me show you the tub, or we'd prefer you kill yourself.
Instead of the sheets, you know, you don't want to get blood all over the sheets.
When you, during your breakup.
Yeah.
And then what, you stay on the couch in the same apartment for a bit?
I stayed on the couch for like 4 days, just crying all the time. And then I went to Phoenix for 2 weeks, Phoenix in LA.
You're from Phoenix?
Yeah, from Phoenix. Okay. Stayed at my parents' house.
Did that help?
No. It was interesting.
Are your parents together?
Parents are together.
So is that, I can picture my parents still telling me why to work it out.
No, I mean, they were welcoming. They were happy to see me back. It's been like 2 years since I've been back. So they were happy to see me.
Cause my mom told me, you know, your father was about to leave me. And I said, you know what? Let's have sex one more time. And he stayed. I'm like, good for you, mom. Good for you.
She pulled out all the stops.
Yeah.
Wait, your mom didn't really say that.
Yeah, she did. Absolutely.
Wait, wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
When? Damn. This last time?
We're human beings. Yeah. Of course. Okay. No, because it's a marriage and needs to work. So she's like, I guess I got to tell you the big guns.
Wow. Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. Give it to her proper.
Good for your dad,
okay.
I guess. I
welcome.
So 2 days into my stay, my brother goes through the exact same thing with his girlfriend.
Whoa.
That they live together. Whoa. And now it's me and my brother at my parents' house.
Isn't that a good thing though?
Because we don't really get along. We didn't get along with it. You know, we fight easily, and it just wasn't the relaxing time at my parents. All of a sudden, he's got like a huge pit bull. Now we got this dog running around. Just, you know, being
wow. You guys didn't connect on that.
Yeah, we did a little bit, and then after a few days, we, you know, would
after
fight.
A few days, they took the girl sides.
We just clash. We know.
Is
and I
he
just
like
clash.
The bro-y version of you or something?
He's very bro. He's very.
Does he call you a puss? So suddenly it's like.
No. We got into talking. So he's like a computer programmer. He just sits around and like, not a computer programmer. That's an active job. He is a network operations like supervisor, right? So he sits around and waits for problems to happen like at like big hospitals. Like when hospitals are like, hey, our Wi-Fi is down or whatever. Like it's only big things that he like, okay, hops on the computer for 10 minutes. It's fixed. Well, goes back to playing, you know, World of Warcraft or whatever.
Oh, so he's like the computer version of what you do to people's homes and things like that.
Kind
like
of.
You're both fixing garbage.
Except he sits on the computer all day long, not talking to other human beings and like reading Reddit and shit. So like we're talking, you know, and he starts dropping things like, he starts dropping like men's rights activist kind of shit on me. He starts like, oh God, he said one thing about, we were talking about how like, we're all just screwed. Like, you know, the big money at the top, the 1%, yada, yada, yada. And then
you
all
know,
of a sudden.
Regular breakup chat.
Well, that was just, yeah, we were just like, you know, fun conspiracy stuff. And then all of a sudden he like goes into this thing about how like African-American, like single parenthood and unemployment and dropout rate and imprisonment rate is like the highest it's ever been in 30 years or whatever. He's like, it's something about their culture. And I'm like, hold the phone, dude. No, like, stop.
Let's take a blood test. You're not my brother.
I know. I was like, dude, stop. You can't think that. I'm like, first of all, you're citing bad statistics for sure. Second of all, if you can't understand why that's happening, like just the hundreds of years of like, you know, institutionalized racism against them, like that's insane. And then he was just straight, like going off about these male rights activist stuff. It was like he was taking the whole like, oh, women are accusing men to get rich.
Mm-hmm. We're so rich now.
It's insane.
I love that one.
He doesn't believe the Me Too movement.
Well, like, can he cite how many women got rich and who they were?
I asked him.
Because that's a big one.
Trust me, I got into it. Because
I can cite the men.
It was the night of Mother's Day that we were arguing over this. And my mother even looked him in the eye and said, every woman I've ever known has been, you know, sexually accosted in some way.
Your mom said that.
My mom said that to him. And he... Then I had a show. I had to leave. And he continued to argue with her for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, dude, you're gone.
Yeah, not only...
So that's when like... We have a contentious relationship because sometimes he takes devil's advocate positions, but it's like, why? You know, like it's like, you know, he would rather than addressing the huge problem, he's like, but what about the tiny percent that's like kind of their fault? It's like, no, like why would you waste your time in that? He thinks he's like a liberal person. He thinks he's a very progressive person. I know.
Whoa.
And his eyes are blowing out of her head.
That's the most interesting part.
He identifies as very liberal. But he thinks it's interesting to like make the other argument and see from the other point of view. And I'm like, but you're wasting time. Like you could be fighting for really good things with how passionately you argue for these things, you know, like argue for the right side. It was insane. It was insane and infuriating. And that's kind of where we stopped hanging out.
But listen to this, ladies. I mean, after you mop up your floor, the guy can fix your doors. By the way, what I thought I was trying to do at the time, when I was with Hemda, and she would say, hey, this needs painted.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I didn't know she wanted an answer. Sometimes you're supposed to just let them talk. You know what I mean? So anyway, now I know
He's been reading Reddit also. Great. See,
they don't want a solution. They just want to be heard. And I'm like, that needs painted. I hear you. You know? But anyway, you're a handyman. You're obviously on the right side of things.
I try to be.
Is there anything exciting about dating now?
No.
Not at all?
No, I don't. I'm not a huge fan of dating. I don't know. I think I need to be more sexually explorative and just like not looking for relationships. I'm like a serial monogamist kind of guy. I just need to go and like, I don't know, have one night stands.
Do you like
just
casual
enjoy
sex?
I never did. I mean.
So what makes you think you're going to like it now?
Because it's not Micah.
No, I mean, she was the fourth person that I've slept with in my life. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's just I was in this 8-year relationship. I was immediately in, like, a 2-year relationship. Had one night stand.
What did you think about
Micah.
The one night stand?
That it wasn't, like, it was a friend of a friend, and it shouldn't have happened, mm-hmm. you know? But I just need to start, I don't know. I have, like, you know, all these hang-ups with, you know, sex about, like, trust and love and everything like that. And I want to almost remove that association. Like, sex doesn't have to equal love. You know, like, you should be able to enjoy, it, you know, human bodies and things like that. There shouldn't be, like, some wall. So, it's just things I want to fix about myself, I guess.
Do you find yourself attracted to anybody yet? Like, just in general?
Oh, yeah.
You find yourself drawn to somebody that you might have sex with and you just didn't pursue it?
Yeah.
Why are you not pursuing it?
I mean, I don't want to get into a relationship. And that's like
the
fear.
Why aren't you pursuing it sexually?
I mean, in New York, it's weird because it's all interlaced. It's all interconnected. You know, I don't need her hearing about me. I don't want to hook up with somebody in the comedy scene. It's just like it's too soon. You know, so. Sure, there are other people that I've been attracted to.
That'd
or,
be funny
you know,
if you're more petty and you're going out with women now and you're like, I want you to do stand-up about me. Please. Richie tweeted out, dating sucks. I'm going back to fucking my couch. Who has the couch now? You know what I mean?
She has the couch.
Ah, boy.
It was just a joke. You know, like every 13-year-old, like it's a joke. You fuck your couch cushions.
You never had a not a whole set, but maybe a few jokes about how relationships is like, because I can't imagine writing, you know, good relationship. Like, I'm so satisfied
in my
relationship.
No, that was never a part of, I was never
Like Keith has always joked about who he's dating. I'm always joking about who I'm dating, and I'll be like, oh my God.
I tried one joke one time about how I clean more than her, and that's like as far as it went. But I didn't have any inclination to be like, she sucks. I'm not with you if I think you suck.
You got to suck like 10%.
I'm a very forgiving person. I remember the good things. You know, I try to hang on to the good things.
Isn't that why you can joke about it in an act, you know, because it doesn't matter that much, but I need a joke.
Maybe it's just not my favorite type of joke. And that's why I don't really write to it either. I just, you know, it's like personal and, you know, I don't like to shit on someone personally on stage or anything like that.
I got to do that more, by the way, remembering the good things, because when somebody offends me, I deliberately grab a ginkgo biloba and I'll take it right in front of them and say, I will never forget this.
What's ginkgo biloba?
It helps your memory.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I want you to know this is up there and it's sticking like roots in a tree. So now you're going to go on another adventure, right? Because that's what you have to do. You're going to go to LA, but you're taking the long way around. So.
I may go to LA. I don't know. Okay. Nothing's set in stone. I'm going to disappear. I'm going to get a one-way ticket to London. I'm getting my passport right now. Get a one-way ticket to London. I'm going to just be on trains all throughout Europe, stay in hostels, wherever. Crashing on couches, getting hotels. I mean, whatever. I'm going to save up a good amount of money.
Right. Have you ever traveled this much by yourself?
Never traveled at all. don't have a passport. Never had a passport. Never been international. So.
And you're turning 30.
Turning 30 in December, yeah. But it's just, I don't want to hit 30 and just, I don't know. I'm tired of America. Like at first I was like, New York sucks. And then you travel the U.S. You're like, well, shit, the rest of this is way worse. And then you're like, okay, maybe it's just, maybe I just need to get a little bit more of a global view. I need to get some perspective on my life. Because some
Definitely
of the things
sounds
that,
so healthy. You sound so healthy. I feel like I want to make you cry.
Well, yeah, then.
It's hard to tell.
In a good way.
Well, it's hard to tell because he always seems so measured, you know? Mm. So it's hard to...
Because he's a handyman.
So who knows what's really up there?
Measure twice.
Yeah, and I'm a psychopath. I'm just thinking of burning schools and screaming children.
What makes you not destroy your life right now? Like make bad decisions and light
things
on fire?
Well, I'm not worried about staying sober. I don't really want to go to AA. I don't think I had a huge problem with drinking and drugs. I do think it was a function of the situational depression. Honestly, when I'm going throughout Europe, I don't want to be on like meds. I don't want to be coming off meds unsupervised. And I want to be able to like have a glass of wine in Italy. You also can't drink on Wellbutrin. You're high risk of seizures or whatever. So I want to have a glass of wine in Italy. You know, I might want to go to a pub and get drunk or whatever.
So it's therapy now that's kind of keeping you.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, therapy's keeping me stable, working out a lot. It's just sometimes I go to the gym and it sounds so stupid, but like my mind is racing so much all the time about all the stupid little intricacies. Like sometimes I just need to go and count, you know, like count reps out. It's just like such a like a dumb mechanical thing you're doing with your body. And it is it's self-improvement also, but like you're not thinking about anything else. You're
Plus,
just like
I do think the endorphins make your brain happier.
Yeah, totally. So you're just like that. That's when I was like first going through the whole breakup. I was like, I just need to like. Count like it was so enticing to not be thinking about all this.
That's so
bullshit.
Funny. I could see him like being out and about. You're just talking to someone. That person gets on your nerves. You just get on your hands. Like, yeah, just, one, yeah. two.
It's
three.
Such a bro-y thing, but I'm like, whatever. You know, I'm gonna be 30. I can either just continue to get fat or I can get in shape and might as well do the good thing. So I don't know.
Children.
They suck.
Okay. I know I'd find something.
Should
ladies.
I want children? I can't find a person to stay with for more than 2 years. Yes, I'm going to knock up the first girl that I hook up with. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the Midwest and find one of those women that just wants a baby.
So what have you learned for your next relationship?
I mean, don't have one. Just don't ever have one again.
Okay. I've learned.
I'm so burnt out. You know what I mean? Like I can't even like think that far ahead of like what the next girl's gonna be. You know, it's like it's
not even that.
I'm still a very muted and depressed person. Even like I'm not fixed, but like it's just like it's not super enticing to me. It's I need to focus on me for a bit.
Oh, they like that even more. That's good. That's good.
You're taking that line. You're putting that instead of Google me on your Tinder.
First dates, I've been saying I totally focused on me and that's done. You got to always be looking, right?
The morning that Micah and I broke up, actually, I woke up before. It was like we had this horrible night or whatever, kind of a fight or whatever. And then that next morning, I listened to the Guys We Fucked podcast where Christina and Corinne both talked about their breakups and they were just crying. And I went to go get coffee and I don't regularly listen to them, but everybody was talking about how much of a tear, you know, like a tearjerker that episode was. And I listened to it and I was bawling and I was like, yeah, that's what I got to do. You know, like just hearing them both talk about it. It's like, it's a healthy thing, I guess, when you're in a bad relationship, you just got to break up.
Right. It's a shame you couldn't do that with your brother, but you know, yeah.
Break up with my brother?
No. I mean, you know, just vent and let shit out.
Because yeah.
Yeah. Instead he just talked about hating women and how it's the black people's fault.
I'll cry with you, bro.
Let's cry, dude.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
Look how guys get credit for crying. Who gives a shit? I'll cry with you.
Yeah. I didn't even do it. Right?
I know. It's just like, oh my God. And they have penises? Tell me you still have your balls.
You, of course, remember the Colorado baker who wouldn't make a wedding cake for a gay couple.
Oh, yeah.
In Colorado, it was deemed that that's not legal. It went to the Supreme Court. And it was deemed that he doesn't have to make wedding cakes for gay couples if he doesn't want to. Which, to be honest, as disgusting as that is, I get it. If we're living in a country where we're saying freedom of religion is one of the tops, then how can I ask you to sin, right? You're supporting sin. How can I ask you to do that with your art?
I get what you're saying because I can compare it to like an all men's club or an all female club.
Right. Come to the speeches. So I'm paying you for a speech for my men's right activist group. What's your problem?
Sure. I just feel like this country has just passed gay as legal. It's now legal to be gay in this country. It wasn't just very few years ago. It wasn't. So if you're going to say that it's legal and you're going to still allow this group to be so marginalized like that, to be so, I don't, and also you're making wedding cakes. I mean,
isn't that gay in itself?
That's what I'm like.
Well, it's like, yes, if we're going to debate whether or not they have the right to refuse service, absolutely fine. Let them refuse service. And didn't they just like burn in flames immediately after? Didn't they close?
They did close for a bit.
They closed for a bit, like
because I'm just of the backlash.
Because that's the shittiest thing you could do. Like, I mean, I don't know about the argument, but it's like, yeah, let people be the worst kind of people and publicly shame them. You know, let that lawyer scream at the two people speaking in Spanish or whatever, and watch his law firm go down in flames. Like,
yeah, I want to agree with that. I always want to agree with that. But then I know that this country is full of half of those people. So as much as like maybe they closed down for 2 days because it was in the news for 5 minutes, they're probably thriving, and everybody who's anti-gay will now go to their shop.
And now the Supreme Court just said that's fine.
Yeah, and now so the Supreme Court just said it's okay to turn people away because of what you assume they're doing behind closed doors.
See, but I don't think there's as much support for anti-gay as there is anti-support for anti-gay. You know what I mean? Like, you really think like a bunch of like Christian Bible thumpers are going to patronize that cake shop now?
Were you just in the rest of this country?
I get, but I just don't think you can survive on hate.
Do you know who's our president?
I see what you're saying.
Everybody's fatter in this country because they're supporting this cake shop. Sorry, honey.
It's just so insane, like from a business perspective, I guess. But
no, from a business perspective, I think it works really well.
I think it works really well. I guess I don't want it to work well. You'd think they would just go down in flames. But yeah, I guess I don't know.
The ruling was 7-2. The court held that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission showed hostility toward the baker based on his religious beliefs. The ruling is a win for baker Jack Phillips, who cited his beliefs as a Christian. Jack serves all customers. He simply declines to express messages or celebrate events that violate his deeply held beliefs.
And I understand that, but what about the rest of your beliefs? What about if I'm Jewish and coming into your store? I don't believe in that Bible after my Bible. So I don't like, I don't believe in what you believe in, which means I'm going anti what you believe in for sure, because Jesus Christ was just a prophet to me. He wasn't the Messiah. So why are you serving me?
Right.
If he was just serving, like, I don't know how that didn't come up in the Supreme Court. If he was just serving Christians who follow Christian faith, who go to the church
he's
or whatever.
Not. He would make you, he will sell to this gay couple, but he's not going to make a wedding cake.
I see. So will he make a wedding cake for a Jew? Do you know what I mean?
If it's straight, I'm sure that he would, yes.
But that's going against God also.
Why?
Because
I don't get the Jew thing.
Because marriage to Christians is a very specific thing, and you're not going to follow that if you're a Jew.
Creative professionals who serve all people should be free to create art consistent with their convictions without the threat of government punishment. You know, I get when people say, you know, be Catholic if it doesn't hurt people. It hurts people by nature. You're not doing it right. The court reversed the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision based on concerns unique to the case, but reaffirmed its longstanding rule that states can prevent the harms of discrimination in the marketplace, including against LGBT people.
How? They just said they can?
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in her dissent, which was joined by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, argued that when a couple contacts a bakery for a wedding cake, the product they are seeking is a cake celebrating their wedding, not a cake celebrating heterosexual weddings or same-sex weddings, and that is the service that the couple were denied.
Isn't it, what's the Supreme Court right now? Is it five Republicans, two Democrats, or is it 4-3?
I don't know. We'll okay. find out in a minute.
It's like the Supreme Court. It's like, what? Oh, they're shitbags too? It's like, yeah, of course. Right. I mean, so it's, although that is like the law of the land, it's not like the U.S. voted on that. And, you know, as a country, it's just like, oh yeah, the people that, you know, the person that Donald Trump just put into that position voted consistent with, you know, Christian morals and values. So it's like,
and it's also consistent with how this country has been until just again, yeah. What? How many? 3 years ago? Because I remember it got lifted right before I got married.
Right.
Because right before I got married, we weren't going to be able to have a real wedding on Maui because Maui did not pass those laws.
Yeah.
And like really literally just a couple months before, all of a sudden it was okay on a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stupid? That's 3 years ago, people.
Yeah.
It's 2018. This is exhausting and stupid.
Right. It's just like, I understand the whole freedom of like being able to do whatever the hell you want, but I guess I would just hope and expect that to backfire on shitty people.
Look at your brother. Where did he get that from?
Yeah, I know.
So I understand that members of the Supreme Court, they're not necessarily openly Democrats or Republicans, but yes, there are far more conservative justices than liberal ones.
Right, right.
Phillips opened the bakery in 1993, knowing at the outset that there would be certain cakes that he would decline to make in order to abide by his religious beliefs. And again, I understand it. Like, me and my dad, we don't have a close connection. We never will. A big part of it, if not the only part, is religion. And I say, don't bother with your stupid religious letters. But he can't stop. And it would almost be offensive if he did stop and go, I am going to give up trying to save his eternal soul. No, he can't stop, or he's terrible at what he believes in. Right?
Oh, totally. I get that. But what about when people call for a cake and they're not a virgin and this isn't their first wedding and like everything else that's anti-Christian in one way or another?
It's just the freedom I don't know, of choice. I don't know. It's just the freedom for him to, it is the freedom for him to discriminate, you know, and just I cite his religion.
I think it's all about his icky factor. I think it's all about his yuck, like ew, gross, because he's not checking on these other people who are getting married in quote the right way.
Yeah.
So I can't believe the Supreme
Court. But you still have to be practical, right?
I don't know.
Does he make dick cakes for bachelorette parties? Like, you know, there's just like, there's dumb lines and it's just, I don't know. There's bad business people everywhere. He sounds like an asshole and a bad businessman, you know, like above all else, but I get his right to do it. Yeah, everybody has the right to refuse service. You know, there are signs all over New York that's like, no hoodies, no, you know, bandana. It's like, no, you're writing a sign that says clearly no black people. Like, right. We get it. It's all over the place. And they have the right to do that technically, but they should be flamed for it. They should, you know, you should just be put out of business.
Right.
Maybe not by the state, but like it should be, you know. I don't know. What's the Yelp reviews for that place? Is it any better? Because I don't think, at least from what I've seen, I don't think the big, like, you know, Christian support system can really take on the level-headed people that are like, nah, we'll bury you. We'll bury you on Yelp. You know,
you're
we'll
kidding,
bury
right? you.
I don't know. I'm not kidding. I might be ignorant, but I'm not. I just thought, you know, like when this shit happens, that people really go after them. As far as I know.
You don't think there's support for anti-gay in this country? Like a shit ton, especially from Christians? Do you remember the Chick-fil-A thing? Do you know what happened there?
The lines out the door.
More stores opened, lines out the door.
Yeah.
And also Christian groups.
But they have really good chicken.
In their.
But that's like really good chicken. It's not just some cake shop.
In the church held up, the entire membership held up a Chick-fil-A bag like they just bought it. And there was some kind of meme going around like, we support Chick-fil-A because of the anti-gay thing. Chick-fil-A is doing fine.
Sorry, and they never honey. I said I'd exercise more, but I got to support. So between these donuts and Chick-fil-A, fried chicken and cake, I'm doing the Lord's work.
I just thought, like, also conservatives are really bad at boycotting shit, like with Starbucks, you know, like every
time.
Yes,
they have all the power.
No, every time they boycott stuff, they just go and buy it like idiots.
What are they boycotting?
They were boycotting Starbucks by going in there and making the baristas write Trump on it. That's how their boycott worked, is by going there and buying stuff. And then another one, I think
they were... jokes on them because they don't spell a fucking thing right.
Yeah, exactly. And then they go, and then they were boycotting something else. So they were like buying, or like, it was like some device, I don't know, like an iPhone, for instance. They were like boycotting this company. So they were destroying their own things at home. Like, I'm not going to use it anymore. It's like, you already bought that. They already have your money, and then you're just going to throw it away. Like, they're right. Notoriously pretty dumb.
And like all boycotts, time will pass and you will forget. And you will buy another iPhone because yours is broke. You know, you might see trending right now is Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Bill Clinton wrote it. Let me know, guys. What was the book that he's doing right now? He's doing a fictional book with a famous fictional author.
The President is Missing or something like that.
And that one? I'm not sure, but I'll find out in 1 second. But you know what? I'm going to say you're right for now. How about that? Is that fair?
I'm going to say I'm right.
Okay. And so it's you know, they co-wrote it, whatever that means, and. So now he's on tour and I guess didn't expect to be questioned about how he feels now about the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Which I love because you're such a fucking dick and you just proved it. She has been dealing with this question her entire adult life. But you thought, hey, I've been busy doing other things, so you guys don't care about that. Meanwhile, you were, how old, 50, 60 years old and jizzed on your intern who was 24, you piece of shit.
She was 22. He was 49. The author is James Patterson. The book is called The President is Missing, so you need a president to understand what it'd be like, so congrats. And yeah, to not understand during the Me Too movement, let's say, that you're going to be asked about this or that it'd even be brought up, and all you need for these uncontroversial hosts is a simple sentence.
Right. They'll get off it right quick.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about it, but they know they have to ask something similar, and they're ready for, they soft pitch you, and they're ready for you to like just bunt a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that good terminology? Who speaks baseball? Right.
You know that's
soft not, pitch? I don't know about that. But.
Right. I don't even think they'd say the Lewinsky scandal. They'd say the thing. You know?
Depends on what is.
Right. Clinton defended his decision to remain in office following the scandal when asked, quote, a lot of the facts have been conveniently omitted to make the story work. I think partly because they're frustrated that they got all these serious allegations against the current occupant in the Oval Office and his voters don't seem to care. I think I did the right thing. I defended the Constitution. Now, I know someone's full of shit when I gotta go, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what? I was thinking the same thing. Okay, I thought you understood.
I'm so
more.
Uneducated about the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, like the intricacies of it.
She blew him
under the desk or something like that, right?
And he finished on the dress. That's how much he gave a fuck.
Right.
And then she told Linda Tripp, the secretary at the White House. And
she
Linda,
saved the dress also.
And Linda Tripp said, save the dress. Monica did. And Linda
so he
Tripp
like
let
coerced
the story
her.
Out.
It was a coercive kind of thing.
She was a 22-year-old intern.
Sure.
And this is the president of the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I
your
get
boss.
It.
But she was also very attracted to him. She talks about it. She was very attracted
right.
to him. I mean, a lot of people were.
Right.
And she was very much in love with him. And when she was talking to Linda Tripp, You can hear her crying. You can hear honestly, she sounded like a young person breaking up, like even younger than 22. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh yeah, 22 is
Linda
really
tripped
young.
Linda tripped tape.
So, yeah, it's also young.
But Belinda was a fucking cunt the whole way, right? Sure. She was pretending, and this is another adult woman. Mm-hmm. She was pretending to be on her side and, you know, being like, oh, that's so horrible. But meanwhile, she's just
double agenting and telling them.
She's just taping it. And then I think she gave it to the press. She was just a total piece of shit about it. And then Monica Lewinsky had to go through it in public. And
right.
She was the first or one of the first major internet bullying case where like the whole country.
Yeah.
You should hear her TED talk. Really, really fascinating. Yeah. Yeah.
I do think you should know that if you blow a married president when he's in office and brag about it, then things are probably going to happen that aren't so good. But yes, he is, of course, the bigger asshole.
Yeah, but she also wasn't bragging about it. She was talking to who she considered a confidant.
But do you remember how I really felt alone in this at the time? That what? Yes, me. That no, everybody seemed to be like, who gives a shit? It's sex. This is what people do. Let's not give them a hard time. And to me, I was like, it's not a big deal that the president lied to us and was so adamant with the quote, I did not have sexual relations with this woman. Why are we okay with the lie? And it just seemed that people were acting like it wasn't so petty.
I remember, and
it's fun to see people come around and say I'm right.
I remember, yes, I was anti that because I was just like, I don't care what he does with his dick. Because I don't know.
That was the whole impeachment thing, right? It was over the lie.
Yes.
Actually, no. It wasn't over the lie. It became over the lie. I don't think it was because of the lie. I think he got into that space because he slept with an intern. And then he tried to make that, but he didn't sleep
with her.
But
what about JFK? Wasn't every president just like a total horn dog?
There was a dress now with his semen on it. So I think it became a soap opera. That's what I was against. It became a soap opera. I didn't know how Hillary Clinton felt about it. She seemed fine. So I'm like, if she feels fine about it, they must have their situation. I don't know what, she's sucking on over there. So I don't
care.
Some
house of cards shit where you're just like, we have to stay together because we're the most powerful family in the world.
That's how I saw it. I mean, now, you know, I'm thinking that age, the internship, the power position, all of that stuff.
Right.
You know, which I took as like a given, you know, because I remember being 22. I'm like, 49-year-old easily would hit on me, even if he's my boss. He's even like, no matter what, all of that stuff seemed normal to me at the time, or at least seemed like not a reason to impeach.
Sure.
Because it's not on policies. It's not on anything. It's, you know, the same, but then it's womanizing.
Right.
And it's like you said, aren't all presidents kind of garbage people in that regard?
Yeah.
Well, there were two charges, one of perjury, one of obstruction of justice. These charges stemmed from a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Clinton by Paula Jones. Clinton was subsequently acquitted of these charges by the Senate. Two other impeachment articles, a second perjury charge and a charge of abuse of power, failed in the House. By the way, I saw that movie Primary Colors it's about Bill Clinton. And I thought it was, and it's great. It's done great. And I firmly believe it, where they're taking care of, you know, John Travolta's scandal. And then they almost look over as they're talking about it, like, Bill, put your dick away. Like, he's just this horn dog that isn't controlling himself, can't bother to care. So the Today Show asks him if the president owes Monica Lewinsky an apology. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now,
what do you guys think before we
that you didn't give an apology? Let's think self-serving. That you didn't give an apology before your book tour is insane. You get her phone number, you call her, you give the apology to her, you let her say whatever she wants to after that. The apology can be so simple, and this problem would have been solved, I believe.
I think it would be poor timing and everyone would jump on that. So it's like, oh, he's apologizing because he's about to go on a book tour.
These are your two choices.
He hasn't apologized yet? Forget the last six. What about the last like 12 years or whatever? Like he hasn't,
President Clinton said, no, I do not. I have never talked to her, but I did say publicly on more than one occasion that I was sorry. That's very different. The apology was public.
What? So he's like, wait, he's saying that it didn't count.
Then now call her. Yes, I'll call her tonight.
See, I would say I'm not going to call her because I don't know what me calling her would do. I don't know what that triggers, but
I don't know what the word apology does or how people need them to move on.
Oh, no, whatever. I get it. But I would say that I don't know if she wants to hear from me, but if
she does,
I would be happy to apologize to her in person. I just didn't know which way to
do. I didn't know how to do it.
Listen, you're saying give a bullshit answer. This is the closest to the truth, I think. You know, this is like what I would say, because I don't think that Monica wants to hear from me if I'm Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You do. You, when you're doing TED Talks and you're writing all these articles about your situation, of course you do. You do. I'm beginning to entertain the notion that in such a circumstance, the idea of consent might not...
Wait, consent is
Okay, if you care. Now at 44, I'm beginning, says, this is her talking, to consider the implications of power differentials that were so vast between a president and a White House intern. I'm beginning to entertain the notion that in such a circumstance, the idea of consent might well be rendered moot.
Mm-hmm. I love her. Andrea's writing in. I would want to hear from him. Absolutely. Absolutely. He ruined her fucking life.
I remember.
Do you always want to hear from the person who ruined your fucking life?
I want to hear from the person that didn't that you immediately hired lawyers to attack her. It was you and the White House against her. That's what it was. We're in this situation. Like, no, I'm in this situation and fuck you.
Billionaires, politicians, those are people that are just chasing power. Like, it's never enough. So, like, yeah, he's a sick person. You know, like, none of these people are good people. So, I remember how I've wronged every single person, you know, in my entire life. And I just, like, have an ongoing list of apologies. There's a tweet you didn't read. I practice apologies in the car. I realized I was driving to LA and I was, like, thinking of how to apologize for things. Like... So,
like what?
Just everything. Like,
what were you thinking on the way to LA?
I don't know.
You have a list.
Just like when I do favors for people, if I don't do it as well as I think I should, I will apologize. Like it's that level of crazy. But I'm not going to be a billionaire. I'm not going to be a politician. There's a reason these people don't stop, you know? So, like, right. If you're the president, yeah, you don't care. You don't think about that kind of shit. That's how you got to that position. Like, you're not a president because you apologize to people.
Andrea is reminding us she will never not be this. Because of him, she would feel enormous closure.
As for his affair with Lewinsky, Clinton told NBC, this was litigated 20 years ago. 2/3 of the American people sided with me. So this doesn't sound apologetic to me. Never mind you're saying 1/3 of Americans did not side with you. But what are you even saying? People agreed with me.
Yeah, we took a poll.
What are you saying?
On this person's life? You don't want to acknowledge the decades that she had to have this be her life and that she can't escape it? That's odd. He looked like a player. Everyone was like, yeah, Bill Clinton. Yeah.
Do you know the name Juanita Broderick?
That's Matthew Broderick's mom?
No, but just one of these women that make up rape stories to become rich and famous.
Yeah. Well, she's famous.
Yeah, well, she was saying how Bill Clinton raped her. It has been years since Broderick had spoken publicly about the Clintons. Sitting at home, alone and fuming, Broderick thought to herself, what can I say to make this believable to people that this really happened to me? One of her tweets was, I was 35 years old when Bill Clinton, Arkansas Attorney General, raped me and Hillary tried to silence me. I'm now 73 and never goes away. Wow. She claims Bill Clinton raped her in 1978 when he was Arkansas Attorney Governor during what she thought would be a morning business meeting. As with many rape allegations, there's no way to prove what happened, especially since Broderick didn't speak out for decades. Through a lawyer in 1999, Bill Clinton denied assaulting Broderick and has never been charged. But contrary to what Hillary Clinton alluded to earlier, there is no concrete evidence that discredits Broderick's rape claims. Her allegations have been an inconvenience for Democrats and an extremely convenient cause for Republicans to champion. Broderick has repeatedly said that she's not politically motivated. She insists she has no plans to join Republican presidential Donald Trump's campaign, blah, 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 blah. She voted for Barack Obama for the same reason that she couldn't vote for Mrs. Clinton this time around, because she tried to silence her, saying her husband is a rapist.
That's fair. You don't want to
sure, of course,
vote for that person. I think she's got the good reason not to vote for Hillary.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Broderick said, people saying that they're sorry is very respectful, but when somebody says, I believe you, that probably does the most good because I want to be believed. It's a hard thing to come forward and talk about, and somebody to choose and somebody to choose to make me valid, that's nice. Of course, there were other women that accused Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct.
I don't remember this. Fuck, man. I've heard
of it. Yeah, do you remember Jennifer Flowers?
Oh, and I feel so bad.
Paula Jones.
Yes, I remember Paula Jones.
Kathleen Willey. And of course, Monica Lewinsky. You know? So
it's trash.
I mean, I can get if you even just went by this, I can understand you going, okay, I heard Trump say he'd grab him by the pussy. But this guy is grabbing pussy. That's a fact. Let's go to the polls.
Well, no. I mean, Trump raped his first wife. She published that.
Yeah, but then I get it. But then you can't go back and take it back thinking you're going to be part of the cabinet.
Is this not insane? I don't even know. Like, I kind of lost everything for like the last 10 seconds before I started speaking. I was like, oh, shit, I wasn't paying attention because we're speaking. This is normal shit.
No, it's insane.
It's normal
shit. It's straight insane.
Our presidents just fucking grab them by the pussy, all of them.
And I know I just made it sound like they were picking Trump over Bill Clinton. But, you know, you're with what you understand to be a rape sympathizer or, you know, definitely helping a rapist. So I get it. I get despising Hillary Clinton completely.
Andrea's saying Hillary Clinton silenced a lot of these women in court. She's a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not news to me. Yeah.
America, America.
This is why I'm going to London with
this
no.
This is not why you're going to London.
Exact. I'm tired of this country. I really am. This shit sickens me. You just like look at the power dynamics and the. I mean, I know that it's not. London.
The Queen's doing better over there.
Well, I'm just starting in London. It's a one-way ticket to London with no return. You know, planned. I'm going to. You know. Australia, I'm going to India, I'm going to, like, I want to hit up all those places. I want to get lost in, like, some third world countries and just, like, see other shit where this kind of stuff is at least, you know, well, I guess it's not happening, but it's just, like, I don't know. It's not
Did
so
you just
prevalent.
Say third world country? You're going to third world countries to not be hit with rape allegations anymore?
Just to not hear this, like, just not to hear this trash, just to, like, see how people live in smaller, you know, smaller microcosms of, like, people and communities that just don't have this. Like,
are you planning on writing? Because I feel like you're searching.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I mean,
you should blog.
Yeah.
Podcast, something. We need to hear your progress.
No, I probably will. I'll probably do something.
There's a bright-eyed boy traveling by himself. Ooh,
yeah.
I think you're going to need to Google a couple more things before you head out.
But yeah, I'm going to be on Hostel 4. Oh, I get tied up and killed.
Oh, my God. It's going to be, wow. You at 31 will be a whole different person. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
If you survive. I was like,
yeah.
Have you seen that?
No one's planning on me surviving this, okay? We all know I'm going out to die.
Did you see that?
Just let him go.
The documentary Eat, Pray, Love. Have you seen it?
No. So I described this whole master plan to my friend. He's like, oh, yeah, Eat, Pray, Love. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually just wrote Eat, Pray, Love. That's what happened.
So but now you got to watch it.
Never read it, never watched it, never seen it, never done any of that. But that's what I want to do.
Well, I'll tell you. Richie, you can follow his Twitter and reach out to him at Richie Tallway, RichieTolway. He'll be in your country.
Probably.
You know?
Can we book you on a roast against Micah before you go?
No.
Would you do that?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
All right, think about it.
Did I tell you? I already said on the show, right? John Ozalay, he was on this other show. So I was at Rar Bar here in Astoria. There's a weekly show.
Yeah.
And John Ozalay comes on stage and says his regular jokes and then is like, by the way, after this, I got to go into the city. I'm doing a roast battle.
Yeah.
And because I'm doing a roast battle, I've never said these jokes out loud before. So can I run these jokes by you? He's talking to the audience.
Right.
And he's like, the roast battle is against Micah Fox. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, crack up. Nobody knows who that is.
Yeah.
And then he tries out his Micah Fox jokes at the bar. And then the next comic to come up, I forget who it was, but he's like, does anyone else have a terrible feeling that he's about to lose a roast battle?
That's hilarious.
It was so great. It was such a moment for me. Yeah.
Well, Richie, look, I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Until Mike is here, I'm on your side 100%. You know the rules.
I know. This is going to be like a rapper diss track, you know? You're going to pull her in now and have her talk shit, and I'm about to like fire back.
Right. And I just shrug. I'm like, what can I do? You know. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. We know when you do it, and we appreciate it very much. Be sure you're subscribed as well to My Opening Line. We'll talk to you soon.
I love you, Micah. I miss you. KeithandTheGirl.com.